producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Tonight, each and every show, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Justin Duckham in Las Vegas. He was there for the debate. He joins us again. Hey, Justin, so how many media were on hand for the first Democratic debate?
Oh, man. I want to say it was probably around somewhere between 700 and 800, including the group. Yeah, it was a pretty packed filing center, to say the least.
Wow, no kidding. So what happens after? Let's peel back the onion a little for people listening. Everybody's on the stage, they debate, and then they come off and they talk to more media, or you have a chance to talk to them, or what happens?
Exactly. We all sort of file out into the spin room, and then they go around and they address the media and they explain why they won. They also send in an army of surrogates to make a similar case for why exactly they were the winners of the evening. And last night we ended up seeing all of the candidates come into the spin room except for Hillary Clinton. She declined to come in, and there's also some hope that maybe her number one campaign surrogate from 2008 would join us, but apparently no. Bill Clinton was watching the debate in what appeared to be his pajamas in his hotel room in the wind.
What did you think about, it seems like there was a couple of big issues. One of them was Wall Street. Bernie Sanders saying Wall Street regulates Congress, and there was a lot of conversation over Glass-Steagall and whatnot. So do you think that was one of the big issues of the night?
I think it certainly was. I think this is one of the few debates that you'll probably see this season where you need to essentially have sort of a master's degree in economics to understand everything that was being said. Wall Street was certainly taking front and center, and it was pretty clear that what Bernie Sanders was trying to achieve with this race was a notion that there should be income equality, that there should be sort of an effort to try to regulate the financial system so it's not this sort of casino environment as was repeatedly described by the candidates. And that certainly came out front and center and then ended up being sort of the highlight for a few candidates as well as the low point in the case of Lincoln Chafee, who gave a pretty embarrassing defense for his vote in Glass-Steagall.
Yeah, I agree with you about Lincoln Chafee. Do you think he'll drop out? How long do you think he stays in?
I think he may just enjoy being on TV. He may just enjoy being on the stage. Frankly, he's not really even polling anywhere, and I'd be surprised if he, was going to be getting a surge of support after last night. There's always a possibility that perhaps a TV performance will elevate you to 1%. And there's also, I guess, a chance that, we're probably going to see a Saturday Night Live skit based off of him after last night. His claims that he had zero scandals is, pretty poor defense of his Glass-Steagall vote. There's a lot of people calling for Dana Carvey to return to the show and, play him as a character. And, who knows, maybe if that ends up taking place, we'll have him become a household name.
All right, I love it. Justin Duckham, thanks so much for checking in from Las Vegas.
Thank you. You have a good one.
So, again, the conversation is about the debate and, some of the key aspects that we talked about the other day, Wall Street, Hillary Clinton's performance. You heard Justin say there that no Clinton in the spin room didn't talk to reporters afterwards, and then no appearance by her husband because, of course, that's the surrogate who they would go to then in that case. Besides what happened in the debate, there are other things that are raging across the world and here in our own backyard. How about this? We sent a wave of about 90 service guys to Cameroon. And, you say, well, why is that? Why are we doing that? All these things that are exploding in the world. And the reason for the 90 is to help what's going on there, the spread of Boko Haram and some of the extremist groups that have just mushroomed of late, especially in the past year. So they're armed, but they're not supposed to engage in any kind of combat, according to the White House. They're being sent under an arrangement with the Cameroon government to do these airborne intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, ops, and they're going to stay there as long as they're needed. So there's no date on that. The president notified the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, on Wednesday, because that's what you're supposed to do legally, and then say that within 48 hours, these guys are going to go. They began setting out on their mission on Monday. About 300 troops ultimately, they believe, could be sent. Cameroon has been battling Boko Haram, and the group has, you know, vowed retaliation. We know that. We've talked about this against Cameroon for taking the Nigerian military mission to beat it, basically. That's going on. While that's happening, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, is planning a Mideast visit because of massive pressure to calm, some of the violence in Israel now. And the pressure is definitely there. They're talking about the possibility of a third intifada as the military there steps up in response to the Palestinian attacks and, deploying hundreds of troops. So Kerry announced that I'm visiting, and he's spoken with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Palestinian President Abbas. So here we go again. Nothing seems to change in the quicksand, does it? It doesn't. It just doesn't change. If you think about it, the State Department with Clinton, now Kerry, they have not been able to do what they kept saying they were setting out to do, which is such an impossible task anyway, the Israeli-Palestinian peace deal. And, of course, the president and Netanyahu couldn't have a chillier relationship, especially after the Iran nuclear deal had them on complete polar opposite sides of that debate. So how much sway, if any, do we have in that, in that region? The Middle East policy has been abysmal. I mean, this is an area where you can say, boy, not doing well. The quicksand is getting the better of us. The quicksand is killing us, in fact. So there's the little wave of troops to Cameroon, and then there's what's going on in Israel. And you've got a lot of pressure from lawmakers urging for some kind of a strong response. That's that whole debate over where are we with Israel. Like Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey saying he stands behind Israel's fundamental right to defend itself and its people from violence and terror. Abbas and his government have an obligation to stop the attacks, to cease the rhetoric, and it just ignites them, and to negotiate for a peaceful resolution. Not a revolution, a peaceful resolution. So pretty strong statements, but the statements, go on deaf ears, basically. 8 Israelis, 30 Palestinians, including 13 identified by Israeli as attackers, have died basically in a month, with dozens of others wounded. So this has just gotten hotter, not cooler, if anything. Coming up on this Hour of America tonight, a conversation, speaking of humanitarian crisis, remember Rwanda. How horrific Rwanda was. Coming up at the tail end of the hour, a conversation with General Romeo Dallaire, the Canadian UN general who was there and saw the atrocities of Rwanda and tried desperately to get the world to pay attention. Next, Odds and Ends.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the Unexplainable, or the Afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code George if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
The new frontier in human nutrition and health is that of epigenetics. Epigenetics refers to the portion of the DNA that you can influence with molecules or frequency signals. A huge key to detoxification, cellular health, and even eternal youth has to do with what kind of signals you are feeding your cells. Technology now exists to energetically encode foods or supplements so that the original food you started with is now a carrier of information that communicates health-giving signals to the cells of your body. The first food of its kind to ever receive this encoding is One World Whey. One World Whey has received high praise and generated some amazing testimonies since 2011. We now know that all the amazing testimonies we've received come primarily from the energy encoding process and secondarily to the high quality ingredients. To support your metabolism, detoxification, energy, and strength, unlike any supplement you've ever taken, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Tonight, odds and ends. We're going to jump and dive into it. If you have some final thoughts on a lot of what we're talking about, including this, you know, campaign, the latest row and coming off of the heels of Las Vegas, the first Democratic debate, absolutely chime in. 855-266-5283. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hi, Dan.
I had to put my headphones down. I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Like I was telling Nathan, I've got everything I need except a little alcoholic refreshment. But I was telling about this pineapple margarita mix that a friend of mine told me about that sounds plum larrapin. She told me, she says, you're not going anywhere. She says, after you have three of them, I'll drive you home.
I love it.
Don't take good care of me. Now, I've got some questions for you real quick. I heard something, I believe, from you. I could be wrong, but I believe I heard something from you about a plane that was discovered in a jungle with skeletons in it.
Yes.
Please elaborate on that, and then I have another question for you.
Okay, so what happened was there was, you know, that that island, near that island where they found the chunk of the plane that they thought was the Malaysian plane. Well, there were some kids deep buried into the jungle that were there, and they were playing around. They were hunting and whatnot, and they found the cockpit, and they found a bunch of skeletons, and they say, and they're trying to verify all that, that they, in fact, had the headgear on and all of that inside the cockpit. There was two that were upright in the cockpit, and then others that they uncovered that were right by it. So now they're trying to verify it to make sure that's true. I mean, they took pictures, sent pictures, the whole thing.
Okay. Well, there's our plane, I do believe.
Yeah.
Okay,
kind of,
now,
it's sad, huh? So it was buried way back.
Yeah, that is amazing.
It is amazing. Yep.
Well, now the thing I kind of came away with this debate thing, I've been hearing all the talk on it and all. I think the Bernie Sanders campaign and O'Malley for that part and all the rest of the Hanger Honors was all designed for Hillary to have somebody defeat so it wouldn't look like a coronation, like they were just handing it to her. I don't think Bernie Sanders has a Chinaman's chance in hell of pulling this off. No racist part there on my part. It's just an expression from days past.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going on there.
We're talking over each other. I'm going to chime in there. I don't think you're right. I do think you're right. I don't know if Bernie's the setup, because I think he likes that people are interested in him. But I do believe the Democrats didn't want it to seem like a coronation.
No, they got to Bernie. You know how I know they got to Bernie? I know they got to Bernie and told him, look, you might as well forget it. You're not going to be the man. And that's why he came to the magic defense of Hillary on the emails to blow that out there. I'm tired of hearing about your damn emails. That was all cut and dried. That's what that was about. That was to get the pressure off of her, allow her to finally get away with it. Now, I think Joe Biden will be coming in, but not until after Hillary does her mea culpas in front of the Congress for the Benghazi thingy. And then I think there will be a shoe that drops from the FBI investigation that hangs Hillary's hide on the wall. And then, to save the world, long comes our boy, Mr. Biden. And Mr. Biden will hang in there, run clear through the motions of the election until it's time for him to name his vice presidential candidate. And his vice presidential candidate will be, ta-da, none other than Barack Obama.
Boy, that is a wild conspiracy, but I do enjoy that because
I have been right time and time again. Remember what I told you about the stock market way back?
Oh, and I agree with you, and I knew that. You and I were on the same page with that. Are you kidding? Absolutely, but I agree. I agree, but
get on the same page with me on this. I'm telling you, this conspiracy is what's going on, baby.
I'm gonna up the ante. He becomes the vice presidential candidate. I am walking naked to New Jersey, and you can follow behind
you with the film. All I want from you is a picture. You stark nude. I won't put it on the internet. I'll keep it for my bedroom for my dream.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. Interesting. That's an interesting twist, though. Thanks, Dan. That somebody else started saying that about the. It wasn't just Dan. Somebody else started saying the whole thing about the vice presidential deal. That's not happening. That is not happening. It's like the whole impeachment thing. Listen, this is the end of the line for Obama. Now it's all about him. Now it's all about, I'm going to go on whatever show I want to do. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. It's not about some of the things that are being thrown out there. He wants to be the, are you kidding? His wife wants nothing to do with politics. You think that she would want to come back and jump in as the vice president? No. Obama's coming back as the vice president after he's already had two terms as the president. Oh, no way. And Bernie Sanders, I think he did that because he wanted to do that whole thing with Hillary Clinton, because he wanted to be the good guy anyway, and because he doesn't want to answer all those questions about the whole email thing either, because he doesn't really care. I think he really doesn't care. I know a lot of people that know Bernie Sanders, including Bob Ney, who comes on this show with us all the time, who served with him forever, 20 years, and he talks about what Sanders was like. I don't think there was anything at all planned out. Are you kidding? I don't think the Democrats could have planted anything for Bernie Sanders. I'm sure they loved it. I mean, listen, if I'm Debbie Wasserman Schultz and that happens, I'm like, amen. Are you kidding? You just bailed me out. Absolutely on the, they don't want to seem like it's a coronation for her, though. I agree with that, but in a different twist than Dan's. I that's one of the reasons I didn't want to have a bunch of debates, because they don't want to have her constantly answering those questions about emails and Benghazi and whatever the latest thing is. And plus, they don't have as many candidates. And the candidates obviously aren't as strong if you think of what they're polling. Even the Republicans who are not polling high are getting more than zero. Like Chafee, zero, 0.5%, whatever that is. So he was one of the five. Easily, he could have been left off the stage. Jim Webb, a lot of people think he's a nice guy. He did his service for the country, absolutely. But he's got nothing going on as far as anybody wanting to really vote for him for president, right? He's a little more than Chafee, but not much more. So now you have, what, three people on the stage? Martin O'Malley, Bernie Sanders, and Hillary Clinton. They don't want a bunch of debates with that. They don't want more exposure for Hillary. Absolutely, I agree with that 100%. But ixnay, no way on the whole vice president thing. And Joe Biden, I think Joe Biden, he either jumps into this right now or he gets out of the way because he's going to cause problems for the Democrats as late-to-the-party guy. He knows politics. He's been around politics long enough. He's run for president before in a campaign that had really not much steam. So he's going to do this again. If he's going to do it, he needs to do it now. I thought the moment for him would have been to come in the day before, boom, right before that debate. But I think he's on the fence. I think he's on the fence, and a lot of people are trying to push him over the fence to get him to say yes. And that is an intriguing storyline, though, to watch. Is Joe Biden going to split whatever the president's loyalties are? Because, you know, this is the vice president that's worked with him for two terms. Now, when he has to support somebody, he's going to support Hillary Clinton, or he's going to support Joe Biden, or what's going to happen there? You would think Hillary Clinton, that was the give back, but Joe Biden messes that whole deal up. So if you're looking for some drama, there's your drama. Absolutely. That's where the drama comes in. Speaking of drama, and I already mentioned this at the top, but it's much more than that. It's a sad drama. If you ever watched the movie The Hotel Rwanda, I never watched it, and it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago. Somebody I know that went to Rwanda after all of that happened told me, you got to watch this movie. It's a movie, but so much of it is very close to the real thing. And I did. I did. It was a long movie. I watched it. Oh, heartbreaking. So the general, Dallaire, who was there on a UN mission, joins us and talks all about it next on America Tonight.
Some folks like shit. I like the way you move your hip.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Ed Fuchs is a registered pharmacist who understands how important the B complex of vitamins is for maintaining a healthy heart. That's why he drinks Pollen Burst from Longevity's complete line of nutritional supplements.
Pollen Burst has got the B vitamins in there, and the B vitamins are so fascinating because most people are going to be deficient in the B vitamins because they're rapidly processed out of food. And the B vitamins work on the brain, the heart, the skin, and the digestive system. When it comes to heart disease, we got 600,000 people in this country who die die of heart disease every year. Some 64 million Americans have some form of heart disease. The B vitamins, a nickel's worth of B vitamins every day, is the most powerful nutritional way to protect yourself from heart disease.
To feed your heart the nutrients it needs for good health, order Yongevity's Pollen Burst by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebed.com. That's brightsidebed.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? And that's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
Visible upon the hero's memorial. Locked in cerebral manacles, we rattle our brains, unhinged intellects. How do you embalm a phantom?
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to this show somebody who fought so hard for human rights and saw so many atrocities. And I think you know his name. He's very, very well known for some of the wonderful things that he's done since that time. But he's the UN force commander for Rwanda. Romeo Dallaire joins us now. General, it is such a pleasure to have you on this show. And so many people have now talked about Rwanda and how come more wasn't done, and how come more people didn't pay attention, and what was the United States' role in what happened. And you wrote two best-selling books, Shake Hands with the Devil, and They Fought Like Soldiers, They Die Like Children. And, you know, you're working on a book about post-traumatic stress disorder. For you, when you stepped, if we take you back there, when we stepped back to Rwanda, did you realize what you were going to encounter with your peacekeeping forces?
That's an absolutely outstanding question to ask. You sort of say, if I did, what kind of a nutball would want to go into something so horrific as that? There was in the UN at the time an explosion of peacekeeping missions. Remember, the Cold War ended not long before that, and we had the Gulf War, yes, but everybody was expecting. In fact, George Bush Sr. said that we were entering a new world order. Remember, people were talking about peace dividend and we don't need militaries anymore and the whole world's going to be nice and all that kind of stuff. Well, all of a sudden, all these civil wars and imploding nations and failing states started to appear where they were trying to get rid of dictators and trying to bring democracy and all kinds of stuff like this and human rights and the like. And so at the UN headquarters, they went from, you know, four or five long-standing, reasonably cheesy Chapter 6 missions of observing conflicts that had been resolved for a long time but needed a referee to keep it going. We exploded into 15 to 16 missions in a matter of less than a year. And so Rwanda was a really small little project. They had been having problems in Cambodia. They had been problems in Japan by then. Ex-Yugoslavia, and so they were hoping that this would be a success story so that they could re-encourage people to continue to support peacekeeping. And so I was to do it on the cheap. People thought that we'd be able to pull it off and that people really wanted peace. And what really suckered us in was the fact that that over-optimistic demand of the UN to try to get something positive on the books completely, ignored, I would even go as far as to say, the fact that there was strong extremism on the side of one of the ethnic groups, the ones in power, that they were not, in the end, ever going to reconcile with these other ethnic groups, and they did not want to share power. And then the whole thing went to hell.
And, you know, and obviously you saw, as I mentioned before, there's no great way to describe it, just so many bodies, so much atrocity, so much murder, just a horrific scene. But one thing that isn't talked about very much, there was actually hundreds of thousands of people, am I right, that were saved?
Well, the way it worked out was is that in fact, it's working out still today when you see Iraq and Syria and so on. The civilian population are now both the targets and the prize in civil wars. And so each side will try to maneuver as much as it can of the population for its own power base and negotiating base for the future. And so the extremists were moved just under 4 million people. And told them of the other ethnic group, the Tutsis, as they were doing it. So they slaughtered 800,000 as they moved 4 million and left about another close to a million injured or sick because of HIV/AIDS and so on along the way. So that massive movement that happened, where we were able to intervene was the fact that they wanted them all outside of the country, in the periphery, like in the Congo and Tanzania, so that they would negotiate their return. They wanted a scorched earth for the rebels by actually moving the population completely. Well, we were able to prevent 1.6 million from actually leaving the country by proving that we could protect them. But the real in-your-face protection happened around the capital, where we were able, you know, on five sites, to protect 32,000 who were in immediate danger of being slaughtered. In fact, one contingent withdrew before it got orders to do so from us, but its country told them to pull out. And about 4,000 was slaughtered in a matter of hours.
Wow. So then you come back from what happens in Rwanda, and eventually people are certainly seeking you out, wanting to know what happened. All of that is more is revealed. But you're dealing with the post-traumatic, you know, stress of it all. And now we talk about that term a lot more. But when you had the post-traumatic stress, it wasn't discussed as much. How difficult, obviously, was that for you to process all of what you'd seen?
Well, I had already, the war had ended on the 18th of July, and it was essentially the population was completely destabilized. I mean, there were bodies all over the place and so on, but the actual fighting had ended, so it was time for people to come back. And I, at that time, had completely burned myself out to the extent where I had asked to be relieved because I was becoming a liability to my mission. I just couldn't handle all these people coming back and complaining that the place was a mess. They were still finding bodies after we had ran out of food, water, medical supplies. We ran out of ammunition. So I sort of broke down and asked to be relieved, and then went back to Canada and was made deputy commander of the Canadian Army. At a time of massive budget cuts, you guys were going through the same things in the States. General Sullivan was doing miracles there in the States with the U.S. Army. And at that time, the word was, you know, welcome back to the real world. There's lots of work to be done here. And with time and hard work, all this will disappear from your mind. That was the theory. Of the time, which in fact was exactly the contrary to trying to heal this wound, because post-traumatic stress disorder is what we call an operational stress injury. We even use it now with our first responders in Canada. And so it's an honorable injury between the 2 years that has both physical and psychological impact, of course. Physical meaning the brain, some of the circuitry gets shot to hell. But in this sort of process, I knew there was something wrong because of not sleeping and all of the horrors were coming back on, but didn't realize that this was an injury, and it took some pretty significant events that made me all of a sudden be quite conscious that I needed some real serious help. And the system at the time was not structured. We didn't have Vietnam like you had, where you had so many psychological casualties. And so nobody knew exactly what to do with this. And so we were getting suicides by the barrelful. And so I went public as a general, still serving, that I was injured, that I felt there's a whole bunch of walking wounded amongst us, and because of these ethical and moral and legal dilemmas we face in these complex and ambiguous missions that are given to us, that if we don't do something, we're going to continue to see guys, mostly guys and some girls, yes, killing themselves, destroying their families, beating up their wives and kids, into drugs, booze, and God knows what else. And so by going public, it took nearly 3 years to bring that about. I went to the United States to White River Junction in Vermont, where you have a huge clinic there on PTSD. And the head of it is a Dr. Matthew Friedman, an extraordinary guy. His wife was a nurse in a MASH in Vietnam. And I said, listen, we got nothing. We need your help, and can you help us? And he said, we're going to help you because we don't want you to go through what we went through in Vietnam. And I said, what was that? He said, the Vietnam War by then had been over for 22 years. He said that there are over 58,000 names on that magnificent monument in Washington. But they had on their books at the time, those were only the ones registered, on their books over 102,000 suicides. Directly related to Vietnam. So what you guys are feeling now and what we're feeling with Iraq on suicide and so on is still, it's not the tip of the iceberg, a reality that these wars keep killing. And these injuries, like operational stress injury, can be terminal. And so that's a dimension that we're still fighting very strong here to get people to realize.
We're speaking with former UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire, and we'll continue with this conversation in just a minute on America Tonight. T-
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only, Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today, 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trust has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218- Help. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Speaking with UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire. We're talking about some really important things. So many of you out there that have called us who have served in former wars and know what post-traumatic stress syndrome is like. We're talking about that. And General, one of the things that you talk about, and boy, we talk about a lot on the show, and I know there are lots of other people that try to peel back the cover on this or take those layers down, whatever is the great terminology to put it. But why is it that we see, and maybe I'm answering my own question, but it seems that governments certainly rank economic and political interest way above humanity, because we see that there are many other atrocities happening in the world and not enough people to move the mountains to help those folks. When you see that in other lands, how disturbing is that to you?
You live a constant frustration of knowing that that a conflict went catastrophic, that was preventable, but what was not in fact prevented. Because of self-interest, because it wasn't on somebody's radar screen, because there were no resources And the only thing that was there were human beings. And as in Rwanda, I was told by one country, you know, we're not coming in to give you any resources because the only thing that's here are human beings, and there are too many anyways, it's overpopulated. So the human being is still, in too many cases, the lowest common denominator. And we become all excited when we see a sort of incident happen, like with the Syrian refugees. I just back from Jordan from my work with child soldiers in the refugee camps. And so you get this child, the picture of the child that drowned, and the media go absolutely, totally committed to it. And then all of a sudden we get the emotional, spontaneous responses from governments to a problem that 4 years ago, if we had intervened properly under the responsibility to protect, we could have avoided this thing from happening in the first place. So I think that we are now at a time where we are more culpable of ineptness and lack of statesmanship and sense of humanity than we were in the early 90s when we were stumbling into this whole new realm of imploding nations and failing states and civil wars. And so the reason I hold people more culpable is that we do have tools that we finally have adjusted from our experiences in certain conflicts, plus the introduction of the concept of responsibility to protect that says if a country is massively abusing the human rights of its people, we have a responsibility to go in and protect the people. Not do a regime change, not go away and blow away Gaddafi, but in fact protect these people and prevent them from, in fact, being martyred by the government and find other options for the government to play with. Well, we don't want to operationalize it. We don't want to take casualties. We don't want to get suckered into these problems. And so if the developed countries, and I hold very much the middle powers, the Germanys, the Canadas, the Japans, the ones who've got a lot of capability but are sitting on their hands waiting for you guys, the United States, to get set up, to be hauled into these things, and then be held accountable for if things don't go well enough. Until these people start reacting in a humanitarian fashion that does reflect a responsibility to protect, because in the end, there isn't a conflict in the world that's not going to affect us by home, by pandemics out of the refugee camps, by extremism, and terrorism's going to come out of the rage of a lot of these people in these displaced camps and so on, by the not having the availability of the special resources like coltan, you know, the Congo as an example, and by influencing our diasporas back home, who are still locked in and get suckered into different things. And look at the recruitment that's going on even on the radicalization of our youth with ISIS. So we are myopic in our look at what conflict is overseas, because we're still looking at it with lenses of 50 years ago, where in fact anything that goes on overseas is only about 12 hours from a sophisticated bus ride in a plane.
Yeah, to put it that way, boy, it really puts it into perspective. I'd be remiss not to, I know that you're passionate about this. You're a big advocate for ending the use of child soldiers. You just mentioned what we see that's happening with younger people as far as ISIS. But soldiers themselves, turning children into soldiers, and you've started an initiative for that that's very personal. Tell us about it.
What I did is In 2004, I had been medically released from the forces and had been working on war-affected children in the international development side of the house. I got a fellowship at Harvard at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at the Kennedy School and did a research paper on child soldiers because I wanted to prove that the slaughter of the 800,000 in Rwanda was done mostly by young people who had been suckered in by a political group that had shifted them from being a youth movement into a militia, and a vicious militia. And so since then, I've built a program. It's now at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we're based out of, where we go in prevention of the recruitment of child soldiers. We're not into rehabilitation, reintegration. That's picking up the pieces of those that do survive. Many of them don't. And so what we do is we're into countries, at the invitation of the countries, we go into their school system, and with pedagogical tools like local comic books built by ex-child soldiers and so on, and we teach the kids not to get suckered in, and we influence the parents to protect them in a different way than before. And on the second side, which is now the more dynamic one, is we train military and police in how to de-escalate confrontations with child soldiers, and in fact, how to be able to neutralize them as a weapon system on the battlefield and make them a liability for those who want to recruit them. So we've recently produced, in fact, the standing operating procedures for NATO, where we'll be training commands and so on. The African Union has asked us to do the same for them. We are engaged in countries from Colombia right through, soon we'll be going to Myanmar, helping them prevent the recruitment of children, and in so doing, not only preventing their effectiveness by other means than simply killing them, which is in everybody's doctrine now, they just treat them as another belligerent. We've offered them a whole new doctrinal framework that they can use and tactics to be used. But we also are into the business of influencing the thinking of those countries in regards to wanting to use children as weapons of war.
Wow. Romeo Dallaire, thanks for all you do to make the world a better place. And if anybody wants to help, what would you tell them?
Go to childsoldiers.org.
Childsoldiers.org. Thanks, Romeo. Thank you so much.
All the best to you.
Wow, what a treat to get a chance to speak to this incredible man, Dallaire, and what he witnessed. And if you watch the movie Hotel Rwanda, and it's a movie, but the movie does do an incredible portrayal of what he saw, and he is heavily featured in that. Of course, he's played by the actor Nick Nolte, who, you know, you think about it, he was the acting Canadian colonel sent to oversee the UN forces in Rwanda, and then stumbled upon some of the most horrific things one could ever see is what we described. We know the numbers are crazy. He mentioned them. More than 800,000 Rwandans were killed in the genocide, and there was pleading and begging, including the general himself, for more troops and help, and they didn't come. They didn't come until it was much too late, and finally it all ended. But, boy, what happened in between was just unbelievable, unspeakable horrors. So stay with us. Much more coming your way on America Tonight.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.